is good. And all the time. Amen. It's good to be back with you this morning. It's always a joy and pleasure to stand in this pulpit and to fellowship with you at Westminster. It's such a great thing that you have allowed your pastor to take off at this time of year and to be with his family. And it's not very often that the congregation willingly gives up its pastor during Christmas season, but you have blessed him greatly by doing that. You know, as I was having a time of prayer with your elders this morning, the thought struck me, what a blessing this congregation has in these men. These three godly men who care for you and shepherd you. And you can sense their desire to be shepherds of the flock the way they pray. And it's a blessing that you have such men, and I would encourage you to treat them godly, in a godly manner. Because it's not very often that you find men like this to be elders in your church. This is probably the last time I'll be standing in this pulpit for a while. Not that I'm planning to die or anytime soon. But as you know, Hyacinth and I are headed off to Jamaica hopefully in a couple of weeks. We kind of schedule our date for leaving January 7th. And because of some passport issues, we have to, we're citizens of two countries. See, we have the best of both worlds. Things go wrong here, we have some place to go. I don't know about you, the rest of you. But we been having some issues with Harrison's Jamaican passport. Because we're going to be staying there for an extended period of time, we have to travel on our Jamaican passport. Because if we land on our American passport, they'll give us probably 2 weeks to stay in the country. And then we have to leave. But when we go on our Jamaican passport, you know, it's like returning home. So we would appreciate your prayers. Right now, we're not even sure where the application is, whether it's still in Miami or whether it's in Jamaica, but we need for it to be expedited, and we would appreciate your prayers that that be done. We're pretty much, we're still about, I'd say about 95% with our support. That is, the Lord has blessed us in that way, and that has come in. So we're ready to go. And would you pray that things would happen and happen fast so that we can go and set up house and be prepared for teaching early in February. Okay, that having been said, would you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and we'll be reading from verses 1 through 16. Ephesians chapter 5, starting from verse 1, and would you stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of God's word? Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes down on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. This is the word of the Lord. It is faithful and true, and it is given to us for our faith and practice. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you were here this past Wednesday night at our Christmas Eve service, you would have been part of a candlelight ceremony, as it were. And when this is done right, it is such a meaningful experience. The light in the room will go dim until it becomes dark. And then a light will appear. A single light will appear. And from that one single light, other candles would be lit. And as the candles are lit from the front row going back to the back row, the light would begin to shine in the room. And as more candles are lit, the room gets brighter and brighter, until all the candles are lit, and it is as if the light had not been turned off. And so many times we experience that kind of worship, and we really don't know the significance or the meaning of that kind of experience. See, what that is trying to teach us is that out of darkness, light shines. But the source of that light is from one light. And that one light lights up others. And before you know it, there is a glow in the room. And who is that one light? What is it teaching us about that one light? Well, if you look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus also says of Himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, when Jesus says, I am, that's indicative of his deity. You remember what God said to Moses at the burning bush when he commissioned Moses to go back into Egypt to bring out the children of Israel? And Moses said, who should I tell the people sent me? And God said, tell them that the I am that I am has sent you. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, what he's really saying is that I am who I am, the light of the world. For Jesus is the one who was the Word that was with God from the beginning, because he was God. And he is light of life, the light of men, the light of the world. Jesus is the light of life. No one who believes in him continues to live in darkness. He is the light pointing the way to salvation. And no one can come to God except through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. For as it says in John, in Acts chapter 4, 12, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved, except Jesus Christ, the light of life, the light of the world, the one through which all must come to God. Indeed, Christ has come to dispel the darkness of sin that has enveloped our hearts, the hearts of unregenerate men. You know, when that first couple sinned in the garden, a darkness, as it were, descended on all creation. The light that they enjoyed had gone out, as it were. And every man since then was born in darkness with a veil over his eyes so that he cannot see the truth. He cannot see the light unless Jesus Christ, the light of the world, comes into his life. In 2 Corinthians it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan has blinded us, has placed the scale of sin, of darkness, over our eyes, so that we cannot see the light, the light of life. But it continues to say, God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. See, as God dispelled the darkness in the physical realm by the illumination of his created Son, S-U-N, even so does he dispel the spiritual darkness by the illumination of the eternal Son, S-O-N, the one who was with God from the beginning. Who is that light? Jesus Christ. He is the light of life, who was with God from the beginning, who has come to dispel the darkness in our lives. Christ has come to remove the depravity of our sinful hearts, to open our eyes, to turn us from darkness to light of the knowledge of God's saving grace through Jesus Christ himself, to release us from the power of Satan and freedom from sin that only he can give us. Because as it says, it is only when the Son sets us free that we are indeed free. Jesus also told his disciples, now remember who Jesus is. He is the light of life. He is the light of the world. He is the one who has come to dispel the darkness in our hearts. And yet in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, he told his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." In the same way, he says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." The light of life says to you and me that we are the light of the world. And we should so shine that men may see our lives, our good work, so that they may come to see the light, Jesus Christ, and come to know Him and glorify Him. As children of God, we have the light of life, Jesus Christ. And as light possessors, we must be light transmitters. As light possessors, we must be light transmitters. We are that shining light on the hill, transmitting the gospel of Jesus Christ that draws men to Him. We must transmit the light of the gospel by our words and our deeds. You know, as I was coming up this morning, I was trying to get into one lane, and I put my indicator on, and it was on for quite a while. The person behind me should know that I was trying to get into the lane. And yet, when I turned into the lane, the person blew the horn. And I got mad. You know? And I said, "Now, they saw my indicator. They should know that I was coming over." And I did like this. You know, and Hyacinth said, "It would be so interesting if that person shows up at church with you this morning." See, we're supposed to be light of the world in what we do, in our deeds, in what we say and do. And that was such a good lesson this morning, you know, of how we do not let our light shine. And yet one day I was in the parking lot, and there was this lady. You know how you're in this busy parking lot and you're waiting for a parking space? You're just waiting for somebody to come out, and then this other person just zips in, you know? And I was getting ready to get out of the car to go ream her out. And a little boy says to me, "She might show up at your church in the morning, Clive." Another incident. I did allow someone to go into a parking lot. I was waiting, and this person came along, and I allowed her to drive in. I didn't know who it was. Several days later, my secretary came into my office and said, "You know, that lady downstairs said your boss is such a gentleman." Because I was in this parking lot and he allowed me to take a parking space that he was waiting for. We should let our light shine so that men may see our good deeds and glorify our Father. As light possessors, we need to be light transmitters. It's not only little things like those that we need to let our light shine. In our relationship with our families, our relationship with our coworkers. Has anyone ever said to you, what makes you so different? Has anyone ever said to you, I would like to have what you have because you're so different from the rest of these guys? There's something about you that is different, and I want to have what you have. If we fail to let our light shine, lost men will continue to stumble in the darkness. If we hide the light, they will not see our good deeds and want to come to know our Heavenly Father. Will not want to come to know Christ our Lord and glorify Him. The failure to let their light shine seemed to have been what was the problem in the Ephesian church. Paul had spent 3.5 years pastoring this church. And after all that time of having the great Apostle Paul as your pastor, for 3.5 years, you would think that a congregation would become perfect. You would think that their light would shine. While he was pastor at Ephesus. Ephesus, by the way, was another port city. It was a great sports city. It was a stadium city, pretty much like Jacksonville. It was a trade route, pretty much like Jacksonville. If you want to get to Florida, you have to come, at least on the east coast of Florida, you have to come through Jacksonville. Ephesus was pretty much a city like Jacksonville. And after Paul had pastored there for 3.5 years, using it, as it were, as an evangelistic center, it was from that place, that city, that Paul was able to minister and send out others in all of Asia Minor to preach the gospel. And after all of this, the Ephesian church was having a problem with making that full transition from paganism to Christianity. And that is why Paul had to say to them, for once you were darkness, but now you are. He had to remind them that they're no longer darkness. They are light, and therefore they should live as children of light. Their light was darkened, and their light was darkened by the corrupting influence of their culture. And that is why Paul also said to them in chapter 4, 17 through 19, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened by their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensuality, they have given themselves over to sensuality. Having lost all sensitivity, rather, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. This is a culture in which the Ephesian church was planted and existed. A culture that was totally corrupt. A culture that was in darkness, groping around in the darkness of evil and paganism. And for some reason, the Ephesian church was being influenced by this darkness, by this paganism, by this dark culture. And so it is with our church today. So it is with the modern church. We get so involved and so entwined with the culture of darkness that before you know it, our light dims. And we fail to shine as children of light. Oh, you could go into anywhere where there are Christians, and they could tell you all about, you know, what's going on in Hollywood. What's the latest thing with the actors? They can tell you the latest episode of the sitcoms or that other stuff that they show in the daytime. What do you call that? They can tell you what's going on in the world and in the world of entertainment. They can tell you what's going on in the world of sports. But so many cannot tell you where to find a certain passage of Scripture. Cannot quote Scripture. They don't know the Word. Because they've become so entwined, so involved with the culture around them, that their light has become dim. Paul says in Ephesians 22 through 24, you are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, when you come to know Christ and confess Him as your Savior and Lord, there must be an evidence of a radical change in your life. You must be different. The old things must have passed away, or should at least be passing away. In Colossians 1, 21 and 22, Paul says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind, as shown by your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blame, without blemish, and free from accusation. There should be evidence of that change that has taken place in our lives. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Whereas you were once darkness, now you are light and should live as children of light. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do we go about making this transformation? Paul says, by the renewing of our minds. And how do you renew your mind? Anyone has a suggestion? But mainly the Word of God. You're right. But mainly the Word of God. You know, I don't know. I'm aging myself here when I talk about Robert A. Cook. I see some blank faces, so obviously you don't know who Robert A. Cook is. He was the president of King's College in Briarcliff, New York. And he used to come over the radio, especially family radio, until they went apostate. But I remember Robert Cook used to say this over and over and over. If you want to get rid of a bad habit, you have to replace it with a good one. If you want to get rid of sin in your life, you have to replace it with holiness. And if you want holiness in your life, you have to get into the Word of God. you have to keep renewing and renewing and renewing your mind in the Word of God. And yes, brother, the assembling of yourselves with God's people. If you want to, I was talking to somebody recently and they were talking about getting rid of the old bad company. And, you know, he said very rightly, I need to find new friends. I need to find new company. I need to start forming a network with people in my church, people who can edify me and lift me up. And I need to leave that crowd that keeps pulling me down, that keeps pulling me back into sin. Yes, you have to. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves with the people of God. Now, Paul says that the fruit of light, that there is a fruit of light. And that fruit of light evidence is an evidence of our transformed life. For he says in chapter 5 of Ephesians verse 9, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And if we want to know what that fruit of life is, we can go back and look in Ephesians 4:25 through chapter 5:16, and I won't read that. I would encourage you, though, to go back and read those verses. Ephesians 4:25 through 5:16. And you will see what Paul is talking about when he says that light bears fruit. And then he describes how that fruit comes about, how that's evidenced in our lives. But I will summarize it for you when he says that falsehood will be replaced by truthfulness with one another, recognizing that we are all members of one body. We are truthful to one another. Anger will be replaced by forgiveness so that the devil will not get a foothold in the church and in our lives. Dishonesty and laziness will be replaced by honesty and a willingness to work for a living. And Paul says you do that so that you can give of your means to the church and to others. Edifying words will replace corrupt speech. Kindness, tenderness, love, and will replace bitterness, anger, and wrath. Thankfulness will replace filthiness and coarse witness. And a ungodly desire will be replaced by a godly desire to seek God, to please Him rather than to please self and gratification of the flesh. Compare that, if you will, with what Paul says in Galatians 5:22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For against such there is no law. Jesus says in Matthew 17:18, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Is your light shining for God? Children of light, as you are, is your light shining for God? Is your light bearing the fruit of your life, bearing the fruit of light? Does your light, life, witness bear fruit, witness for Christ? And if there is anyone here this morning who does not have that light of life, do you know Christ as your Savior? Is He a part of your life? Notice that in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says that the children of light should be imitators of God as dearly loved children and should live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The children of light will be imitators of God because they are created to be like him in true righteousness and holiness. As imitators of God, they transmit Christ's love as a beacon of light to those whom Christ has come to save. You know, dear people of God, you cannot love God and not love those for whom he died. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and come to praise your Father in heaven. I have much more to say, but I'm going to stop here. The light dispels darkness. The question we have to ask ourselves is our life dispelling the darkness around us by our witness? Do people see in us the light of life, who is Jesus Christ, and want to come to know him as their Lord and Savior, as we have come to know him? The purpose for our salvation, for Christ redeeming us, is not only to one day take us to heaven to be with him, or to be on the new heaven, the new earth. It is also for us to shine for him. It is for us. He has put us here. You see, if God didn't have a purpose for us when he saved us, he would have just taken us out. But he left us here because he has a purpose. And that purpose is for us to let our light shine, so that those others whom he has called to himself may see our witness and will want to come to know him as their Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Lord, you have given us your word because it seemed like nothing really has changed in the church. Your word is with us because we constantly need to hear the admonition of your word. Admonishing us to shine as children of light, because we are no longer darkness, but we are the light of the world. We are the reflection of your light. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that you would forgive us for allowing our light to dim because we have become so entwined and entangled in the affairs of the world, and has allowed the darkness of the world to shade our light, to become a bowl over our light. O Lord, we ask that you would remove the darkness so that we might be that shining hill, that light shining on the hill that beacon of light drawing others to you, that they may see our good works, our witness for you, and may want to come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, we just pray now that you would so fill us with your presence, the power of your Holy Spirit, that your light in us will be rekindled, and that we will go out today shining for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.